This morning, I'd like to bring a message entitled Walking as a Believer. Take your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to start there and read a portion of Scripture, and then we're going to have a different one for our text. But 2 Timothy chapter 3. And so, New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to start verse number 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. We've seen that, haven't we, in our country? Those that want to do right, those that want to do that which is good, there have been those that despise those people and despise us for that. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having, and this is an important verse here in verse number 5, having a form of godliness. So they kind of appear to be righteous or godly. They give the indication that they are Christians, and yet in reality their lifestyle doesn't match up with what the Bible talks about of being a born-again Christian. And yet they promote it, and they even promote it publicly sometimes as well. Having the form of godliness, but denying the power. And the power is the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation by his death on the cross of Calvary. That's what gives us the power to become righteous. We get God's righteousness when we put our faith and trust in him. Denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Now hear the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy and those that are reading this. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Now that ties together. Fully known my doctrine, the word of God, that which he based his life on, and his manner of life matched what he based his life on. And how important that is. And so the Apostle Paul is saying that here. Verse 11, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. And that's the word means mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But I want to note one particular verse, and that is verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And if you write in your Bible, you could, the word perilous there has the idea of savage times. And that's what we're living in today. We're living in times that are savage. I mean, the things that are going on all around us indicate that we're living in perilous times. And so this morning I'd like to preach a message entitled Walking as a Believer. How do we walk as a believer in perilous times, which we're living in the type of situation we find ourselves, the culture that's all around us and trying to infiltrate into our lives. We find that some time ago, the Supreme Court made a decision that they justified or made legal same-sex marriage. Now, I don't know if I said that when I've been here in the past, I never thought that would ever happen. You know, I don't know if you ever thought such a thing would ever happen in our country that was founded upon Judeo-Christian ethics. How could that have ever took place? Well, it did take place, and that many things followed. That was, it's just like the beginning. The transgender agenda that has we've seen here in recent years, where they have made sanctuary cities where people could take their children and have surgical surgeries done to them so they could become transgendered. Whoever thought that would ever take place? And then transgendered men in sports. I'm so thankful they just outlawed that. I'm thankful for that with the new administration outlawing that. And also, I think they're going to go and attack this transgender agenda, and I'm so thankful for that. But, you know, that's not really going to be the complete answer for that. The complete answer is when God's people that are called by his name rise up and start living a life and make the light shine in this world so people see us and see Christ in us, and they are drawn to him. And when they put their faith and trust in Christ, it's going to change their idea on these issues. And so that's the real answer. But I'm so thankful these things have taken place. And then the LGBTQ, and some people say about every other letter of the alphabet they've added now. We found in Los Angeles, when Los Angeles is talking about with all the fires and things, they have 39 genders in Los Angeles. I mean, I can't even imagine what they could even be. I mean, what could they be? 39. And I'm thankful the president said there's only two genders in our country from now on. There's just male and female. Of course, that's what God said, didn't he? In the Word of God, he said God made man and woman, only two. And I'm just so thankful he's made that in our country once again. Another odd thing, and I don't know why this came to my mind, but there is was a school some years ago in Milwaukee area school. I think it was a middle school. It could have been a high school, but I think it was a middle school, where some of the girls in the school said that they were now cats. And so they actually put cat boxes in the girls' bathrooms. I mean, you say you can't make this stuff up. I mean, that's the kind of world that we're living in. It's just crazy. And then this past year or so since the invasion there and what took place in Israel, the anti-American college students were anti-Israel, but they were also anti-American. And how could that happen? They're being trained in our universities, and all of a sudden, they're anti-American. And then what took place at the Super Bowl this year, where there was one of the performers in the halftime show that took the Palestinian flag and got on top of a car. Did he not see how some of these hostages are coming back? They're barely alive. In fact, there's one they say that is so sick and so bad that they can't even release him because he is basically, I don't know if he's in a hospital. I don't know if they put any of the people in the hospital, but they're coming back in such bad condition, and yet they're still supporting those that had done that. And then one last thing, as we're talking about the day in which we live the perilous times, when my wife and I would go out we represent the Alpha Women's Center, Pregnancy Crisis Center in Milwaukee, I would always print off this off the internet. It's called the number of abortion counters. It's a U.S. abortion clock. And when you go to this site, there's it's clicking up all the time, and it's abortions taking place in the United States and around the world. And as you watch it, it just keeps clicking up with the number of abortions. It lists the number in the United States today, and at the time that I looked at this, it was 215, 2025, yesterday at 210 or 207 in the afternoon, 207 p.m. The United States today, that was yesterday, in that day, Saturday, had already performed 1,476 abortions in the United States yesterday. United States this year, 112,509. It has U.S. since 1973, Roe versus Wade, 66,488,301. And then it has other things, and if you'd like to look at this, you can look at it, or I can actually leave it here or give it to you. I put it up, brought it up at 207, and then I printed it at 210. That's 3 minutes. And in 3 minutes, it has a clicker that counts up worldwide since you loaded this page. In 3 minutes, 247 babies were aborted. That's the world we're living in. We're a pastor, when we were in Oak Creek, Pastor Brown used to call it, we live in a world of death, a culture of death. I mean, the number of babies they abort, and then the countries that now are practicing euthanasia, saying that people like me, you know, my age, I guess I remember back to President Obama, when someone asked him a question about Obamacare, said her mother's in really good condition and she has some surgery she needs, and you know, can she get that with Obamacare? He said, well, you know, sometimes people are just going to have to take a Tylenol or an aspirin instead of getting a procedure. Well, that's what's happening in some countries, and Lord willing, it'll never come to our country. But that's the type of world, that's the type of culture we're living in. And that's why it's so important that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, practice walking as a believer, a biblical believer, in the world around us. It's so important. We used to work, my wife and I, with Pastor Jim Lilly, and he now is, of course, he's older than I am, but he's down in Lookout Mountain, Tennessee, is where he lives. And I think he still pastors a church, but because he loves to pastor. And he used to illustrate it this way. He said that years ago, and we'll just say 40 years ago, the world was here and the church was over there where the organ is. He said, today, the world has gotten so much worse. Now the world's by the piano. But guess where the church is? The church is where the world used to be. He said, so many Bible-believing churches are now so influenced by the world that they do things that the world used to do 40 years ago. And we have to be so careful of that. We need to be so careful because we understand, as God says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And so in reality, the church should have never changed. The church should have still been over there. But with the influence of the world and the culture that we live in, it has moved to where the world was, you know, that many years ago. That's why it's so important that we determine that we're going to walk like a biblical believer. And nothing's going to stop us, and nothing is going to change that desire in our minds and hearts. It's more important now than ever before that we walk as biblical believers. Now we're going to look at our text this morning, and that's the book of Ephesians. So if you want to turn back several books to the book of Ephesians and chapter number 5, it's the same chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 17 as well there as we go. So Ephesians chapter 5, 1 through 17. So walking. Walking is something a lot of people do.
When I had hip surgery, the doctor told me I needed to walk, and I was talking earlier to our wonderful piano player. Thank you for playing piano today. Talking about the fact that he told me I needed to walk. So I was, after my hip surgery, I was in a nursing home for a month because the doctor didn't want me to walk on my leg. But once I got out, they came to the house, and you know, you sit there and you got to start out small. So they had me walk up and down the hallway of the house, you know, a couple times. And so I started out small, but then finally I got my walker and I walked around the block. We lived in a suburb, and so the block was kind of long. And the thing was, I walked around the first two parts of it, and then I had to walk uphill. And that was tough. And then I had to walk downhill, which was much better. But then I would do that. But people walk all over. At the mall in Milwaukee, there's a Southridge Mall, and you go to the mall and there's people walking all the time in the mall. They walk all, and it's huge. And they even walk at some of the big box stores. Like if you go maybe to Walmart, which now are huge stores, you'll see people walking. And so a lot of people walk. They walk in the malls. They walk at different places. We have a Y where we're going to go and work out. What is this, the middle of February? Well, we're going to start this year working out at the Y. I don't know why it's a month and a half later, but we're going to try and do that, my wife and I. We have free memberships there. But people walk at the Y. There's actually an indoor track there that people walk, and people are walking there. There's several parallels between walking physically and walking spiritually. So I want to look at those as we begin this morning. First of all, walking by nature implies effort. You know, if you ever walked or jogged or ran, it takes some effort not only to just do it, but to continue doing it. And so in reality, if you don't put forth any effort, guess what? You're not basically going to get involved in doing anything as far as walking's concerned. It burns calories, which means that we need to ingest calories to burn calories. There's a fellow that I work with, Randy, who buys eggs from my wife because he needs protein. He does some workout program of some type. So he eats eggs, steak, and some kind of powder stuff that he takes that increases the protein in his body somehow. But he needs all that protein. But then in his workout, he says it takes a lot of effort in what he does because of this workout schedule he follows. Spiritual walking also takes effort. Just to get in a schedule of Bible reading and Bible studying takes a lot of effort because we are bombarded with 101 other things we could be doing. And so in order to kind of centralize a time for spending in God's Word takes some effort, and we need to put forth that effort. And then as we think of spiritual walking, that effort that we're putting forth, we need something that supplies energy to it. And you know what that is? That is the Word of God. So the more effort we put into reading and studying God's Word is going to be feeding us spiritually and helping us grow as a believer in Jesus Christ, where we're going to desire more of His Word. So the more we get from God's Word, the more we want. I know when I was first saved back in 1976, I was saved and I started going to a new church plant. It was a meeting in a house on Wednesdays and a church basement on Sundays. And what I did was I grew up Catholic, and I didn't know anything about the Bible. I mean, in the Catholic Church, they don't use the Bible. Now, they act like they use the Bible. They have what they call a missal. And even there were times when I was going to the Catholic Church where they didn't even have a missal. You know, but it basically didn't have anything biblical in it. And so I didn't know anything about the Bible. And as soon as I was saved,
I started going over to the pastor's house, and it was almost like a blank slate being filled up. He was teaching, and we were talking about things, and the more I learned, the more I wanted to learn, the more I felt like I needed to know about God's Word. And there's been times in my life where that has kind of webbed, and where sometimes I, you know, maybe was too busy. But I'm thankful in my older age that I'm desiring to learn more about God's Word than I even did when I was working and working long hours, etc. But that food supply, we will never be able to walk spiritually without being connected to God's Word. It never, ever is going to happen. And that seems like it should be a given that, you know, to walk spiritually, we need God's Word. But there's a lot of people, they try to live a Christian life, but they do it apart from the Word of God. They're not in God's Word. They don't set time aside to be in God's Word. So then, why aren't we in God's Word? Because it takes effort. Now, last time we were here, we talked about, you know, what we're investing in and how we need to realize when we invest ourselves in God's Word, the benefits that we receive are unbelievable, and how we need to be investing ourselves in God's Word. Then number two, walking implies progress, a definite direction. And I put down here, are you for Christ or not for Christ? Now, again, when I was recovering from my my hip replacement, we had a treadmill in the basement of the house we lived in Milwaukee. And I would go down to that treadmill and go on there, and I started, you know, walking on the treadmill. I don't know if you've been on a treadmill. Many of you maybe have. And I'd get done, and I'd be in the same place where I started. You know, it was kind of like, and then I started watching TV, the news or whatever it was, to try and keep my mind off the fact that I'm on this treadmill, and yet when I stop, I'm in the same exact place. So I think walking outside or walking somewhere else where you start one place and you end up in a different place, it gives you a definite direction. It implies you had progress. Right. And, you know, that's like with God's Word and walking as a believer. We need to see progress in our life. That's why when we do it apart from God's Word, there's not going to be much progress spiritually in our life. We're not going to be growing. We're not going to be becoming more what God wants us to be. And I'll tell you, unless we become more of what God wants us to be, we're not going to be interested in the things of God. You know, that's why so many people that depart from being in God's Word as a believer, maybe they started there, pretty soon they kind of drift even away from being in church. One of the things that I said, I know with the last time we were talking about the Bible, talking about the fact that some people even come to the place where they don't want to know what's in God's Word. Because when you find what God really wants for your life as a believer, it's going to make you accountable to that. Pretty soon you're accountable. God has said to me that this is what he wants in my life, but I don't want that in my life. And pretty soon we realize that we're going to have to say either yes or no to him. And we're accountable to somebody. And that's why many people don't do that. Evangelist Bill Hall, an old evangelist, he could be with the Lord now. I don't know. I haven't heard about him recently. He said this: we don't look at our sin or our life for Christ like God does. See, and when we get into God's Word, we start finding out what God thinks about us and what God thinks about how we're living the Christian life, how when we put our faith and trust in Him, how we're meeting up to His expectations. Spurgeon wrote this when he was writing about weights and balances. He said, we weigh our lives spiritually on our own scale. And you know, I think I thought of Norman Rockwell in the picture that he had, that he drew of the meat at the meat market, where he had the piece of meat or chicken, whatever, on the scale, and behind the scale he was pushing down on the scale with his finger, making it weigh more. Yeah, we should not weigh ourselves, our lives spiritually, on our own scale. We need to use this scale, amen, to weigh our lives. And this is going to show us the places that we need to correct and become more Christ-like. Iran, I don't know why, where I came up with this. Do you recall when they had sanctions put on them on their nuclear program? They themselves said they were going to monitor themselves, and if they went over what they were supposed to be doing, they would report it to the world. Now, who thinks they would do that? You know, it kind of reminds us of ourselves. You know, when we're not doing what God wants us to do, we don't want anyone to know that. And we're not going to report that, are we? Walking implies progress, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Look at 2 Peter there. You go in a little further on there in the New Testament. The book of 2 Peter in chapter 3. So 2 Peter chapter 3. There we go. And look at verse 18. 2 Peter 3:18 says this: But grow, the last verse of the book, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The word grow there, but grow in grace, it has the idea of being enlarged, to increase, and it literally means that word grow, that we grow up spiritually. And that's why we need to have progress in our life. And number three, walking implies a goal. You know, we have a lot of goals. We have financial goals. Some people call it, have bucket lists of things they want to do. There's exercise goals, family goals, work goals. We make plans for our retirement. You know, on TV all the time, there's ads for people to come in and plan their retirement, to make sure they have enough money in their retirement to live the way and do the things they want to do. We plan for vacations we take. When my wife and I went on a vacation, we don't take many vacations, but we went down to Florida because I wanted to have her go down there and go along the ocean and pick up shells. We went kind of in the winter when it's not, you know, 100 degrees in the shade and humidity where it would be comfortable. But we had to make a lot of plans for that vacation. It doesn't seem like people make many plans for eternity. Not even Christians. You know, a Christian ought to be thinking about that. One day they're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord, and we're going to receive rewards done that we've done on earth, things that we have accomplished for him, and yet we're not planning the fact that we, in order to get to that place and have him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, we're going to have to be busy down here. Okay. We're going to have to be busy about the things that God wants us to be doing in our life and for him, okay, and we don't do any planning about it. We don't spend any time thinking about what should I be doing. What should I be doing so that my family is taught biblically and turn out to love the Lord Jesus Christ? Our goal, my wife and I, our goal, and mostly because I worked and she was at home, is we wanted our children to love the Lord. We wanted them to trust Christ as their Savior. We wanted them to know what it meant to be a Christian. You know, it's interesting. In order for them to know that, my wife and I, we had to be that. You know, there's so many people, their kids turn out bad, but could it be because the parents never really lived a Christ-like life in front of them? Never are we going to be perfect. I know this Pastor Brown used to say, you know, we're never going to be perfect or sinless, But we, as we live for Christ and are in the Word of God, we ought to be sinning less. We ought to be more like Christ. And when our children look at us, they're going to see a representation of Christ in our life and want to be like us. And, of course, we want to be, in fact, the Apostle Paul said that, didn't he? Follow me as I follow Christ. And that ought to be the desire in our lives. All right. There we go. When we think of our life as a believer, what is our goal? Is it to be like Christ? Romans 8:29 is, turn there. I want to look at that here quickly. Romans 8:29. It has something interesting. You know, there's a lot of things going on with Reformed theology today and the rise of Calvinism with Reformed theology. So Romans 8 and verse 29. And they use that idea that God predestinates some people to be saved and some people to be lost. You know, you can basically prove that that's not a biblical doctrine by the fact that God says he's not willing that how many should perish?
None.
He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever call upon him should be saved. I mean, Calvinism is not a biblical doctrine. But there is something that he predestinated for us as believers, and that's Romans 8:29. Look what it says there. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And the word predestinate means he determined beforehand that this is what was to take place. Predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Every single person that has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. Are you seeking to be like Jesus Christ? Do you want your life to shine in such a way that people see Christ in you? God designed you for that very purpose, and that is what he desires for your life. And then Philippians 3:10 talks about the Apostle Paul, where his desire was to know Jesus Christ, that I might know him. And that was his desire.
Trying to look at the clock back there. There's a glare on that. Can't really see. And I don't have my phone. So my cousin is a Vietnam vet, went reenlisted, went back to Vietnam twice, or the second time. And he lives alone. When he came back, he had all sorts of problems from the Vietnam War and lost his family, you know, his wife. It just, he never did really recover from a lot of those things. Even today, now he's older than I am. I think he's in his middle 70s. He still has dreams about being in Vietnam, and he sees someone at the VA, et cetera, et cetera. Well, he was redoing his kitchen, and he put in new cabinets, kitchen cabinets, helped him put those in. He ordered a quartz countertop, and it was just a straight shot, but he wanted it extra wide. And when he ordered it, he didn't have the hole cut for the sink because he didn't know where it would exactly be. So they delivered it, and he needed to put it in the house. Well, I went over there, and I mean, we couldn't even lift it up. It was so heavy. So we were having a church breakfast. I asked the men at the church breakfast if they would come over there. Took 6 men to carry that countertop into his house and set it up on top there. But then he asked me to cut the hole, and I'd never cut a hole in a stone countertop. So what I did was I looked at a bunch of videos. And then we started cutting, and the dust. And so we developed a system. We put a big hunk of plastic over the top of us. He held the vacuum, and I was cutting, and we had mass. Oh, it was awful. But as I was cutting that opening,
I started realizing and understanding the videos I had watched. And it started to make sense, and we got the hole completely cut and got the sink installed. That's kind of like the Word of God. The more we're in God's Word, we may not understand all these things, but as we go through our life, we start getting the understanding of why God has this in there. It starts making sense to us. We start facing some struggles or trials or difficulties in our life, or we have family that we need to deal with or whatever it is, and pretty soon we start drawing from what God has taught us, and pretty soon these things start making sense, and we're thanking God more, and we want more of those things to help us as we go in this life before we get to heaven. So now we're going to get to the message, which we'll probably have to, we're coming back in April, so we'll probably have to continue this. But let me give you what those three things are, and that we find in Ephesians chapter 5. So take your Bibles to Ephesians 5, and let me go through those, and then we'll start the first one. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 1 through 17 in the message. So how do we walk as a believer? Ephesians chapter 5, look here at verse 1 and 2. We're going to start there. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. But be therefore followers of God as dear children, number one, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So, number one is to walk in love. Verse 1 starts and says this, but be ye therefore followers of God. The word followers, if you write in your Bible, literally means an imitator. So when it says, be ye therefore followers of God, be therefore imitators of God. To imitate is to try to be like. We talked about earlier about our children. We want our children to be Christ-like. And guess who? What they do? They imitate us. You know, it's like those pictures where you see a child, his father's walking, and the child tries to get in his footprints or in the snow or whatever it is. He wants to be like his dad. We've got our youngest grandson. He likes his haircut cut like his dad. Now, his dad was in the National Guard, and he is a deputy sheriff in Waukesha, and he has like a military-type haircut, and he wants a military-type haircut, and he always seems to have one. My wife always says, can't you grow your hair out so you could part it? Well, because she likes it, says you look good parted hair. But no, he likes to be like his dad. A lot of girls like to be like their mothers. That's why our testimony must be true as a believer, realizing that our own children are going to imitate us. But you know, what's interesting is no matter where we are, no matter what group of people we're in, no matter whether it's at work or whatever it is, people are going to look at us, and when we don't have the testimony that God wants us to have, they're not going to have anything that they can imitate. And there's a lot of people that watch each one of us everywhere we go and everything that we do. I work with a bunch of men, and there's some ladies there as well, that are vulgar. They talk about vile things. And the interesting thing is, I think they probably wonder, because I never ever talk with them when they're around like that. I either, I say, I'm going to go read my book in the car or whatever it is, but I don't participate with that. So in their minds, they got to think either I'm really strange or something is different that I don't participate in what they're doing. And I'm always trying to
be kind and gracious. We're not supposed to talk about politics at work or religion. Can you imagine that? They say the company will fire you. But I do have opportunities. My wife, actually, when I sell eggs at work, she puts gospel track in the egg box. And I don't think they can say anything because they take it home and find it at home. But in reality, our testimony is saying something wherever we are. It either is a good testimony or a bad one. And so we see here, be followers of God, imitators of God, and walk in love. Love is an interesting term here because it's talking about in the fruits of the Spirit. It talks about love. But the love in the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5 is love toward God. It's not love toward others, but it's our love toward God. It's that vertical relationship. And we need to develop that relationship. Remember, Christianity is a relationship. It's not a religion. You know, a lot of people in mainstream churches, they consider it as a religion. They set up a list of do's and don'ts and different things that they have. And when you're doing all those things, or I remember in the Catholic Church, when I was in the Catholic Church, you had to come to church at least once a year. You didn't have to come any other time. And so on Christmas and Easter, guess what? People were standing in the aisles for the whole service of whatever they were doing at the time. Just to get that in, because if you didn't come once a year, it was a mortal sin and you'd go right to hell, or actually to purgatory, I guess. Which is, again, you're not going to find that in the Bible. But it's your relationship with God, and it's this vertical relationship. And that love is a choice. It's a choice we need to make. Are you going to love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, or are you not? And it's a choice you must make as a believer. And then time develops that relationship. The more we choose to follow Christ, the more we're going to be an imitator of Him, and we are going to then walk in love as Christ was our example. And so we need to walk in love. Why is that emphasized? And we'll close with this. It's emphasized because the devil has an imitation that he has given to the world in which we live, into our culture, and it has caught on. And that's where we find here as we look at verses 3 and on. It says, so we're talking about walk in love, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you. It's a perversion of love. Fornication, that's relationships outside of marriage. That people call love, but it's a perversion of biblical love. Uncleanness, that's talking about lustful desires. Again, a perversion of what God has in His Word about love. Covetousness, desiring things you cannot have. And then God says, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Those things ought not to be in the life of a believer. It's in the life of the world that we have to live in. But remember, we're living in the world. We're not to be of the world. Then it goes on talking about spiritual adultery. And, you know, our relationship with God, it's represented with His people. It's described as a marriage. And so spiritual adultery is when we are unfaithful to God in our relationship with Him. Then he goes on and talks about filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, which I find sometimes I find myself involved in that. It says these things are not convenient. Literally, they are not proper or fitting as a believer. But what should be in our life?
we should be praising God and being thankful to Him. Now let's see, where is that? Let's see. Oh, I didn't write down the verse. But that's what it ought to be in our life, praising God and being thankful for Him. Oh, here it is. In verse 4 at the end, he says, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks for what God has done for us. We're going to close there. But as we think about walking as a believer, there's two other things that are in this chapter, and that is we're to walk in light. We are the light of the world. And the Bible says, don't put your light under a bushel, but let it shine. And that is going to shine into the dark world that we live. And then number three we're going to look at is to walk circumspectly. And that means to walk carefully. We live in a dangerous, dangerous cultural world. And we need to walk carefully because we can be deceived and tempted like anyone else. But we, by the grace of God, can resist those things by being very careful about our walk. So I guess my final thought would be, how are you walking today? Are you walking as a believer that people will see Christ living in you? Are you walking according to God's word and what He has told us in His word? Are you walking as God predestinated you to be a follower of Him? To be Christ-like, to be what God wants you to be? Or are there things in your life that you need to be working on? We all need to be working on things. Maybe you're not reading in the Word of God at all. Maybe you've never really got that as a habit in your life. Well, maybe you need to start by taking this book and start reading it on a daily basis and ask God to be teaching you what He wants for your life. Maybe you're in God's Word, but you're not applying it on a daily basis. Maybe you're not allowing God to make you a testimony, and it's fearful sometimes, even at work, to be a testimony for Jesus Christ, because sometimes you will get ridiculed, maybe even laughed at, and sometimes, even on some jobs, they say you'll get overlooked. Maybe someone else will get a better position because they know you're a Christian. These are things that are going to happen, but the thing is, you have to be steadfast. You have to say, you know what, whatever it takes, I'm going to be what God wants me to be, and I'm going to let Him take care of all the rest. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of the rest, and that's what we have to be as believers. Maybe you're here this morning, you never put your faith and trust in Christ. Well, the Bible says that's the first thing you need to do. We have some people up at our church that are going to be baptized this afternoon. They have said that they put their faith and trust in Christ, and now they want to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, which then is a picture of what took place in their life. And the Bible says raised to walk in newness of life out of the baptismal tank, and that means that now you're going to walk in a new direction in your life because you want what God wants in your life. Maybe you're here and you've never been baptized. Maybe you're here and you, like I say, never put your faith and trust in Christ. Or you have some other need. I just pray you let God take care of that.